Welcome to Living on the Increase with Minister Tony Preston, where you will be challenged to exchange your to-do list in life for Jesus's do list for your life. For the next 30 minutes, you'll hear a message that is real, relatable, yet will speak right to you with expectations of you making a closer move toward Christ-likeness. Here is Minister Preston.
Good morning, Jacksonville, or good afternoon, I would like to say, and I'm coming to you with a new series with Living on the Increase, and that series is entitled, it's the Resurrection Series, as Resurrection Sunday is coming up, and it's entitled, It Took the Cross and the Resurrection. And there's no other time now in the world that's going on that I can remember since I've been living that we need to know about the resurrection, and we need to know about the cross, and we need to know about the impact that it has on our lives. And I want to tell you, it's going to be okay. I know many of us are going through these things wondering what's going on. And in the back of our mind, we know what's going on. I think we see that the things that we feared are creeping in on us, that we really truly did not have any freedom in this world, in this government, in this system. But our only true freedom is in Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that God has had always from the very beginning a plan for that too. You see, I want to open this message up by just looking at Jesus Christ through the eyes of my granddad. My granddad was a unique man. He had so much junk. He owned a junkyard in his front yard. He put his junk on display in his front yard. He would collect toys. He would collect cars. He would collect mobile homes. He would collect all kind of tools. And those things just sat in his yard, and weeds grew up in it over time and years, and they rusted, and cars and things. And the people that's looking on the outside, they're looking at his yard. They say, look at that junk. But I want you to know, to my granddad, that stuff was not junk. And it wasn't junk to the people when they needed something from him. They would come to him and say, Mr. Emery, my car's broke down. I have no transportation. Do you have some transportation for me to use? And they were looking right at that old car that was on its four blocks, no wheels, rusted, had weeds growing up through the front seat, out of the hood, out of the dash. They were looking at that thing and they were saying, do you have a car for me to drive? And see, they knew my granddad had a big heart, but my granddad went to work. He would clean that car up, put tires on it, pull the weeds out, and he would get that car on the road, and he would make that car available for that person that needed it within our town. He was truly a community person looking out for everybody. I want you to know that's just how Jesus sees us. The world looks at us and they see those weeds. They see our hurts. They see our pains. They see our rusts. They see our scratches. They see our failures. And when they look at that, they say that's of no value. But when Jesus looks at us, he sees ultimate value. And the reason that he could see value, because it belonged to him. It might have didn't belong to anybody else. Might was junk to everybody else, but it was treasure to Jesus. So I want to encourage you this week through this message. It took the cross and the resurrection. In John chapter 14:6, and you get in your Bibles and follow me in your Bible. It's a time to open up the word. Yeah, PowerPoint is good for technology, but open up your word. It's time for you to be encouraged. Not for us to always just shoot your information on a billboard or PowerPoint or a radio, but open your Bibles. And you'll be encouraged by the very words of God. They are life and they are power. In John 14:6, there was one of the disciples that was asking Jesus, because just like us, sometimes we doubt. We doubt God, what he can do, what he did do, what he did in the past, what he'll do now, what he's going to do in the future. And this was doubting Thomas. And many times he had trouble having faith and trusting in God. And on this occasion, he approached Jesus. And after Jesus was talking about the way, the truth, and the life, Thomas had a question for Jesus. And that question in John 14:6, it goes like this. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, verse 5, we know not whither thou goest, and now can we know the way. Now, this is someone that has walked with Jesus, someone that has talked with Jesus, been taught by Jesus, ate with Jesus, heard about all the callings of Jesus, and he still does not know the way. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, it's Jesus' time. No man come to the Father but by me. There's nothing, no one, no other Savior, no other God that can do anything in this situation that we're experiencing in the world right now but Jesus Christ. The only thing that we need to be focusing on and hoping for is eternal life. You see, when times get tough like this, it's not just about a virus, but it lets us see, pull the veil back and let us see that we're in a time where we're in a temporary solution, a temporary situation. We get fed good jobs and things, and we ride in nice cars and have nice houses, but those things are not eternal. You see, this times like this that set our priorities straight. It gets our eyes fixed right on Jesus. So I want you to know that Jesus died for just a time like this when your faith is being challenged a little bit about the things that are going on in this world. And so he came and he saw value in you for a time just as this. And he laid his life down for you. So it took the cross. And I want you to know the cross that it took, the cross is empty. That means they killed Jesus. I want you to know the cross is empty, but you see, they put him in the grave, but they couldn't keep him there. You see, on that cross stood the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God over life. Even on that cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus took a look back all the way from creation, Adam and Eve. And Jesus took a look up and looked at God the Father and spoke words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus took a backward look and looked up and set your eternity in order. He let everyone that had been created, all the stuff, if you read the Old Testament, what they did seems like unforgivable things, but a gracious God came down from heaven, gave his life for the sins of the world, and wore those sins on his back, on the cross, all the way to the grave. That's God. That's what we need to be. We need to be passionate about our life right now because it's very uncertain. Jesus gave his life for our sins. So what did Christ's death on that cross and what did the resurrection do for our life? I want you to know that the death on that cross and that resurrection, it provides a bridge, a way to God. And I'm going to put it like this. There was one time where I just mentioned Adam and Eve. That's not just a story. We were once with God in fellowship. That means every day they walked in the garden with God, talking with God, just fellowshipping with God. But because they disobeyed God and listened to the evil one, Satan, we were separated from God. There's no way we could have fellowship anymore. We could not reach out to God and touch him. We could not reach out to God and be counseled by God. We could not discuss life with God. Because sin separated us, but only for the grace of God in the Old Testament, using men and women to be prophets to speak to us and share his character and who he is and his promises and his long suffering, and continue to let us know that he loved him. But for that, we were separated from God. But that's not God's ultimate goal, to use a man to step in and just to relay his messages. God's ultimate desire was to have us in fellowship with him, just like in heaven as he's fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. But it took Jesus, and Jesus provided a bridge. A bridge is a way. He laid his life down. There was a separation between man and God. And there was no way. There was what we call a chasm, a big void. Just like here's a piece of land on one side, a piece of land on another side, and there's this, all these miles in the middle with nothing but air. Jesus laid his life down across that so that we can step, that we can walk, that we can move in confidence toward God, and that we can live without fear, and that we can see our Father. By and by, we can have that relationship that God wanted from the very beginning. That's what John 14:6 is talking about. No man know the way, the truth. You should know the way, the truth, and the light. No man come to the Father but might be. That's what Jesus is talking about. So what else did the death on the cross and the power of his resurrection do? It provides an opportunity for forgiveness. And say, we all need forgiveness. The worst thing that we could think is we don't need forgiveness. We can be so self-righteous that we don't think we need Jesus. The reason I'm up here preaching now, because we need Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so that's what Jesus did. Now, I didn't say he forgave your sins, which he did on the cross, but it provides opportunity for forgiveness of sins. See, you have to want your sins forgiven. Jesus did his part. We have to do our part. That's why repentance of sin is an assignment that we all have. We have to repent of the old way of life, the things that we've done, how we sinned against God, the trespasses against God. The debt has already been paid. Jesus paid the debt. He's died for the sins. We don't have to do any work to be forgiven for our sins, but we have to have an acknowledgement through something called repentance. So you tell God you're sorry, and it's godly. It's not that thing that just comes from your kids when they're getting their butt tore up, getting a spanking. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's truly sorry from the heart that your sins, knowing that you are a child of God, you continue to do those things, and it hurt God, because God is a righteous God. And you tell God that you want to live for him and you don't want to be like that anymore. That's true repentance. And that's what moves you on to the cross. That's what gets your sins forgiven. And so that's what John 3:16 was talking about. We learn about repentance very early on, but we have trouble living a repentant life. John 3:16 says, verily, John 3:16, and I'm going to read that to you. And I hope you have your Bibles and following. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, for God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And the worst thing you can do, if you choose not to repent of your old way of life, you're telling God you love darkness instead of light. And I want you to know that God paid a heavy price for your life. His will is not none should be lost. And in days like this, it should be even more apparent that we need to surrender our life for Jesus Christ. We need to stop being all about us and get out of ourselves and surrender, because our life is not just about us, but God wants to use us. He wants to use us. He wants to free us so he can use us. So what else does repentance, the death on the cross and the power of the resurrection, offer? I say it provides freedom to all who believe. Galatians 5:1 says, this is the liberty we have. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom from what? Freedom from the shackles of sin. Sin not only puts a stain on you that you can't see God and separates you from fellowship, but sin shackles your life. It puts you in prison. It shackles your mind. It shackles your thinking. And see, freedom, and it puts shame all over you that you won't even come to God. But you now have freedom from shame when you trust in Jesus. You have freedom from fear. You have freedom from worry. You have freedom from hopelessness. You have freedom from despair. You have freedom from addiction. You have freedom from guilt. You have freedom from darkness and eternal separation from God. You have freedom from all of that, the freedom package in Jesus Christ. Point one, point two, point three, all the way down. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross, he set you free. Yes, he did. And so even as we go through this coronavirus thing and this impending containment and all of this testing and being stuck to our housing. We don't know what's going to happen after that, as plan after plan is being conjured up. And God's people has been extracted from these buildings. And the church is always the church. I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I want you to know, and I want ministers to know, that let us become shepherds of Christ and making sure our people, the people that God has called us to lead, learn that fellowship is all about community. The community might be small. When we're going to our houses, they already told us we have to learn how to worship in smaller communities. A limit of 10 people in a public assembly. No, we don't serve God. Well, I'm saying we serve God and we don't serve man, but we still don't break man's rules. And it's time for us to shift our thinking. At the very beginning, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, that was the church, a gathering of some people. That was the church, and they learned how to worship. They learned how to take care of one another. They learned how to encourage one another. They learned how to provide for one another. They prayed together. They praised together. They preached and heard the word. That is the church, and we might be here today. And just because we can't run to one central place and 5,000, 10,000 people, 500 people, so what? The church is the church. It can't be overcome. Jesus already said that. Maybe we'll see some men that rise up as preachers through this, preaching to their friends and then their households and their neighbors. I see things that way. An opportunity for Jesus to shine, for God to get the glory. And what else did Christ's death on the cross and the power of resurrection offer? It provides new life. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you to it the full. We're not only forgiven and set free, but we have a whole new life and destiny through Christ. We're changed from the inside. He renews our minds. He changes our hearts and desires. He gives us fresh purpose for every day. And that is set before us. And the only day we have right now is today. And it is a chance today for you to have a new life. He told me in Matthew 28:18-20, go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you to the end. And I'm a preacher of that. I don't set my assignment. I don't know more than God. I preach that. So my assignment, my agenda, my mission is to go into all the world, those in front of me, making disciples, that's my assignment, to teach you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Baptizing you, yes, that's what the scripture says. So I'm going to do what Jesus said. I'm not going to do what man says. Baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to teach you all things that have commanded. The Bible. It's the full gospel. And there's lessons for life in every part of the Bible. I don't extract the Bible since I'm a New Testament Christian only and get rid of Old Testament. Or I'm an Old Testament Christian where God unleashed himself and let himself be shown to Israel and forget about the New Testament. The whole Bible. That's what we're called to do so that you can become disciples. A disciple is a follower of Christ. One that lives for Christ, sets an example in this world, teaches others, and shows others how to follow Christ. So what did the cross and the power of the resurrection offer? It provides power for us to live today. Let me say that again. It provides power for us to live today. You see, on that cross was power. Death on that cross could not hold Jesus. In that tomb was power. Life was in the tomb. Life was in the tomb. The tomb could not hold Jesus. Power was on the cross. Life was in the grave. And Jesus rose again, having resurrected power over that death on the cross. He lives today. And that's what the resurrection is all about. And that power that God exhibited off that cross, in that tomb, raising Jesus up, he walked right out, showed himself to over 500 people. That same Jesus, the same power that raised him from the dead, is the same power that changes your life, that gives you the freedom in Christ, that makes you a new creature. When Jesus died on the cross and was buried, it didn't stop there. The final picture was that cross provides, lies in the power of the resurrection. And the power of the resurrection is for you to live eternal. I want you to know that Jesus won. Don't think the world is winning. Jesus already won. He didn't stay dead. His power broke through and it still is breaking through today. Whatever man has planned in their stuff, God has something good coming out of that. He has something good coming out of that. He's alive today. As a believer, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to live through these moments. And I want you to, I challenge you to live through these moments without fear, but on the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth that gives you the calm assurance, that gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And you show through this thing how Jesus is, what he does. You make sure that he is put on display, that your life is distinct and different. Though people know, hey, I'm afraid, I'm fearful, but I can find some peace in Jesus Christ if I surrender my life to him. Your life right now at this moment, this time, becomes a testimony to the world. So what else did Christ's death on the cross and the power of the resurrection offer? It provides a way to have victory over the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. And all I'm going to do is read those passages and let those passages speak and preach to you. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. We say that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. So he's telling us, get to work, even in these perilous times, get to work, even in these uncertain times, get to work. Be unmovable. Let us go out. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Let us break them free from their law so that they can live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. So once they live in the freedom of Jesus Christ, they're loosing the chains of sin, and sin which leads to death has no more hold on them than death is swallowed up in the grave, because the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ put death to death. That's what he's telling us. And the bottom line is, it's all about an eternal home. Yes, we got fat on this world. Yes, we got accustomed to having stuff going this way and that way. Not much restrictions. The rules were set according to our desires. The rules have been set according to our desires. But now they are tightening the rules. And I don't want to be a person that's driven by the rules. I want to be a person that's driven by the freedom of Jesus Christ. And in the freedom of Jesus Christ, it gives us peace. It tells us we're going to be okay. He tells us we're going to be all right. He tells us there's no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He tells us that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. He tells us that all things work out for the good of those who love the Lord according to his purpose. He tells us that Jesus is coming back one day. He tells us that he's coming to get his church. He tells us that a church without spot, stain, or blemish. He tells us that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. He tells us that our sins have been forgiven. He tells us he's going to be on the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. He tells us these things. Let's believe those things. And let's trust him. Because this temporary place here, it's not all that it is. We have a home in heaven. God is preparing a place for us with him to live forever. And you can be assured it will be far greater than we could ever imagine. So as this series, this word I just spoke, I'm going to connect your faith to it as I close. Now, what's the word and faith connection in this? The word and faith connection in this all is that Jesus, in spite of the world and everything goes on around, he's going to take care of his own. This is not the first time that there's been a lot of uproar in this world, but Jesus is still on the throne. The church is still the church. And I want you to know the trust in the promises of God. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell or the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. That alone, that promise alone is enough to help you endure through anything that goes on in this world. Everything about Jesus is eternal perspective. So if temporary things are allowed to happen to get us to an eternal perspective, that's okay. It's all right. I believe things are being allowed to happen because we've gotten fat. We made church an entertainment place, preaching to people what they want to hear and what they should hear that changes their lives. You see, us ministers, we have a huge responsibility. And many of us have been enticed to giving people what they want to attract the crowds. But you see, the crowds have been scattered now, and everybody's running back to their homes. They've been confined to their homes by the powers that be. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood in this moment, in this time. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And next week, I'm going to talk about that spiritual battle that we're fighting, because we win that, and it's already won. We're fighting with Jesus. He's victorious. But I want you to know that it's going to be all right. God has us. And wherever you are, you know, just pray. If you don't have anybody to break that word down to you, just have some talking time with God. Just tell him, Father, you love him. Just tell him, Father, help me. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Just connect with God in heaven. And I'm in the 32218, so if you want to connect over here in the northeast part of Jacksonville, over by the River City Mall, just reach out to me. You can email me at cccjacks@outlook.com. You can call me at 904-347-7599. I guess I've been challenged just to go back to the house church right now, and we do it every Sunday. We do it on Wednesdays, and we can do it every night if we have to. But if you need some fellowship, you call me or email me and let me know, and we invite you over. We welcome. And so that's what it's all about. So you be blessed. Until next week, Lord willing, if we're still here, until next week, you keep safe. And you be responsible, and you pray that God will make himself big and known in this pandemic that has been thrust upon us. We love you. Tony Preston, minister, Living on the Increase. Be blessed. Until next week.
To download the sermon notes from today's message, visit www.TonyPrestonSpeaks.com or email increase@TonyPrestonSpeaks.com. Until next week, pray about Jesus' do list for your life and watch God do amazing things with your life.
This song is for everybody that feel you've been skipped over. God's getting ready to call your name. JP, help me say it. My name.